Yes, we promised you the journalist's view at the US men's national team result from last night. Rafa will be coming up on the show to have his rant and his say about everything that went on in Honduras last night. But I'm delighted to be joined now by Goal.com's very own Seth Vertelny joining us here on World Football Daily to talk about what happened yesterday evening for Jurgen Klinsmann's men. Seth, how are you, mate?
I'm doing well. I think I might be handling it a little better than Rafa. So.
He's taking it hard, man. I've spoken to him off air a few times today, and he's suffering about it. I'm looking forward to his rant coming up after you. But we do need to get the expert's opinion on what went on last night. Obviously, to start with the loss in Honduras, and how much pressure does this put on Jurgen Klinsmann's job? Because we said that there was pressure on him coming into this game. It must be huge now on his shoulders.
Well, there's definitely a lot of pressure on Klinsmann, especially heading towards the next game in Denver against Costa Rica. You don't want to put the label must win on the second game of a 10-game tournament, but they really do need to get 3 points in Denver with that trip to the Azteca looming 4 days after that game. If you head into the Azteca with 0 or 1 point, you would have to expect a loss in Azteca. And, 3 games into the hexagonal, if the U.S. has 0 or 1 point, they could be in a lot of trouble. And that game in Denver is going to be really a must-win for the U.S., even though I hate to use that language, as I said, that they need to take care of business there and sort of put the nerves at ease. But, I mean, as far as Klinsmann's job, I mean, I think his job security is really safe. Sunil Gulati, the U.S. president, really went out on a limb. He had been trying to get Klinsmann for 5 years, you know, pretty much since the end of the 06 World Cup. He's risked a lot. He's paying him a huge salary. And I don't think this is a situation where if the U.S. puts together a run of bad results, Klinsmann's job is going to be in jeopardy. You know, if they somehow fail to qualify for 2014, then, you know, maybe we can talk about it then. But as far as sacking Klinsmann during the course of the qualifiers, I don't see it happening.
So Jurgen's safe, but away from home, the U.S. are never safe. It's another loss on the road in a continuation of this poor road form. What is it about playing out of America that they struggle with so much?
Yeah, I mean, it's become a trend under Klinsmann, and it's kind of remarkable how similar a lot of these games have gone. In Guatemala, Dempsey scored a goal early. They got pegged back late. They ended up drawing that game. In Jamaica, Dempsey scored early. Jamaica scored 2 goals, ended up winning 2-1. Same thing yesterday. Dempsey scored in the first half. And then Honduras came back and scored 2 goals. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting because what we had seen in previous years was the U.S. got off to poor starts. They gave up goals early, and then they were forced to come back. But in this case, under Klinsmann on the road in qualifiers, they've actually gotten out to leads, and they haven't been able to hold on for whatever reason. As soon as Dempsey scored yesterday, you know, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, the next 5 minutes, you got to have it on lockdown because that's when you're most vulnerable, right after you score. And the U.S. has had a habit of doing it. And, you know, once again, they conceded right away. You know, obviously, that bicycle kick was an incredible goal, but the events leading up to it were very preventable. There was a pretty much unblessed cross from the right side, and then to be able to chest it down the way the Honduras player did in the box without anybody around him was kind of ridiculous. It was a great finish, but yeah, I know it's been a struggle on the road, and you know, you do have to sort of question the mentality of this team once they get up. Are they thinking, okay, you know, we've got this now? Or, you know, in a lot of these situations, they've been in games where they might be better off, or they would be all right getting a draw, so they think, okay, now we've got a little bit of a cushion, we can sit back. But, you know, they've shown in these games that they're able to score goals. I think a lot of it just comes down to the mentality of, you know, next time they're in this situation, just keep your foot on the accelerator and don't sit back the way they have been.
Firstly, it seems to Seth, like you're saying, if Dempsey scores early, lets everybody, you know, breathe and panic kind of because it seems like the US can't deal with Dempsey scoring early for them and can't hold on to these leads. But let's talk about the positives first, about how Dempsey did start very well and had a decent game, was probably the US's best player. Michael Bradley wasn't a poor performer last night either. And going forward in general, the US didn't look like a bad side when they were attacking Honduras.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they did have some positive spells. When you compare that game yesterday to a couple of their games in the semifinal round, you know, the games at Guatemala, at Jamaica, and then at Antigua, they actually carved out a few more chances than they did in those games in the semifinal round. They had a couple of good spells. I think of a chance that Eddie Johnson had where he crossed it to Jozy Altidore, almost scored. You know, they were doing all right getting attacking chances. You know, they sort of dissipated in the second half with the exception of there was one Bradley shot that got blocked and there was a couple of decent chances. But, you know, they were able to break out a couple of times. I think where a lot of the attacks got bogged down was in the midfield. You know, like you said, Bradley did a decent job connecting in the second half. But, again, you know, there were a lot of turnovers, and a lot of them were just the result of a slow mentality, a slow speed of play. Guys like Jones, guys like Williams, they just really didn't value the ball in the middle of the field, and I think that that led to a lot of unforced errors, a lot of turnovers, and that sort of put the halt on a lot of attacks that the U.S. could have had. So, you know, they were able to break out a couple of times. Obviously, the goal was fantastic. It was a great ball from Jones and a great finish from Dempsey. But, you know, I think that was a game where, despite the heat and despite the grass, the U.S. could have created some more chances if they held on to the ball a bit better in the middle of the field.
Is there a false confidence in this U.S. team then? A kind of over-the-top self-belief that they are a lot better than these sides like Honduras and Costa Rica, etc. Is that why they get maybe a slightly lazy and complacent at points in games?
Well, there shouldn't be at this point because they struggled to even get out of the semifinal round. So I think any pretense of them being able to walk through CONCACAF should be pretty much killed at this point. And if it wasn't before yesterday, then it certainly should be. You know, and I think, you know, it's frustrating from a U.S. fan perspective because you see the teams man for man, and the U.S. is better, head and shoulders better than any team besides Mexico and CONCACAF. I mean, Honduras, I would say, in my estimation, is the third best team in CONCACAF, but when you look at the lineups that the two teams put out there yesterday, this wasn't an immensely talented Honduras team. They had some decent players. Roger Espinoza had a good game. Bonic Garcia had a good game. Obviously, the bicycle kick goal is fantastic from Garcia. But this Honduras team, they're not world beaters. They're not a team that you can say, oh, if they make it to Brazil, they're really going to be able to make some noise. And so that's why it's frustrating. I mean, despite the fact that they're on the road in CONCACAF and it's always tough, you know, based on the caliber of players that the U.S. sent out there, they should have been able to get a result.
Let's talk about this back four that's been troubling the U.S. for so long. Playing Omar Gonzalez last night, do you think he looked ready for playing in a competitive World Cup qualification game for the U.S.?
You know, he had his moments. He did a decent job. Obviously, he's fantastic in the air. He wins almost everything. And, you know, he almost actually scored a tying goal in stoppage time. And if that would have happened, we might have been able to look past that mistake on the Honduras second goal. But obviously there's going to be some moments where you say this is a guy who's inexperienced. I mean, that was his first ever World Cup qualifier. So, you know, stuff's going to happen. And unfortunately it happened at the wrong time and it happened in conjunction with a mistake from Jeff Cameron and possibly a mistake from Tim Howard coming out as well, which led to the Honduras second goal. But I think, honestly, overall, Gonzalez didn't do a terrible job. But, you know, I talked about this in my article today. The U.S. defense is sort of in this uneasy state of transition where their players are either too old or not experienced enough. When you talk about, you know, Bocanegra, everyone was calling for him to play yesterday. In hindsight, he probably should have been out there instead of Gonzalez. But it's not like Bocanegra has been a world beater over the last year or two. I think his form slipped a bit. He's 33 years old. He might have lost a step. He's been injured this season, and he's playing in the second division in Spain. So, you know, it's easy to say we should put Bocanegra in there and everything's going to be great, but I don't think the reality really matches that dream. And, you know, the same thing for Steve Cherundolo. He's 33. Timmy Chandler had a pretty horrible game yesterday, but, you know, Cherundolo is getting a little up there in age. He'll be 35 in the next World Cup. So you have these guys like Cherundolo and Bocanegra that you probably wouldn't be comfortable with starting in Brazil, but then their replacements, Cameron, Chandler, Gonzalez, are not that experienced, and they haven't been thrown to the fire in CONCACAF qualification. So you're sort of in this uneasy state of purgatory where the U.S. finds itself right now in the back line, and they suffered for it yesterday.
Is there a point then to what Bruce Arena was saying about Omar hasn't been, it's kind of too little too late almost for Omar being brought into the squad at this stage, and that he should have been brought in a lot earlier? Do you think that's what Bruce meant by the fact that he should have been given more game time in these kind of maybe lesser games and in friendly games so that he was ready for these sorts of situations now?
Well, it's tough to say that just because he was injured for most of the season. You know, he came back from his ACL tear in the summer, and you can say, you know, maybe they should have brought him in some of their fall games, but the Galaxy went all the way to MLS Cup, and he was probably better served staying with them. So it's sort of an uneasy situation where, you know, they brought him in January, and that might have been the earliest they really could have brought him in. And obviously, over those 3 weeks in January camp and in the Canada game, he did enough to show Klinsmann that he's ready. And, you know, I don't completely blame Jurgen for starting him yesterday if he really feels like Gonzalez is going to be the guy that's going to take him through qualifying and potentially be starting in Brazil. But, you know, when you start a guy like that who's that inexperienced, you're going to have to expect that some things go wrong, and they did yesterday.
What about Honduras? Are we being too harsh on the US? Because Honduras, when you look at how they played last night, looked very organized, a very good side, very good at home in general, Honduras, traditionally.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Honduras is probably the third best team in this region right now, and I would expect that they're going to be right in there for World Cup qualification. And, you know, they have some experienced guys that have had plenty of time in the EPL. Maynard Figueroa, you know, he's had several seasons with Wigan. So it's not a bad side, definitely. But like I said before, the U.S. shouldn't be scared of playing a team like Honduras, even if it is on the road in the heat in a World Cup qualifier. You know, the U.S. is a better team than Honduras. It's not really debatable man for man. You know, when you go out there, obviously anything can happen on the field, and yesterday it did. But in this region, you know, that's a game that the U.S. should at least be able to get a result out of. And in fact, yesterday was the first time the U.S. had ever lost in Honduras in a World Cup qualifier. So, you know, I don't mean to, you know, take anything away from the Honduras performance, because I think they did well and they've got some good players. But in the end, it's a game that the U.S. needs to expect to at least get a point out of.
A couple of people on our Twitter feed, Seth, were kind of saying that the US were lacking a leader out there. Do you think that's a fair reflection, that the team doesn't have somebody that's going to really grab it by the balls, so to speak, and drag it through some of these games and galvanize the players around them?
Yeah, you know, I guess it's kind of easy to say that with Bocanegra out of the game, because he's their usual captain, and there was some miscommunication in defense. I think, you know, they missed Bocanegra on the field, not so much for his, you know, quote-unquote leadership, but more so for being able to organize the defense. You saw that Cameron and Gonzalez had a couple of times when their lines got crossed, and, you know, the Honduras got in behind them on the second goal, and then also in the first half on that chance where they got caught offside. So, I mean, they've got plenty of experienced guys out there. They've got a Tim Howard. They've got a Michael Bradley. They've got a Clint Dempsey. And, you know, I think that some guys are going to lead vocally and some guys are going to lead by example. And a guy like Michael Bradley is more of the latter type. He's going to lead by example. And Tim Howard is going to be more of the former type. He's going to lead vocally from the back. So as far as lacking a leader on the field, I'm not sure if that's really the reason that the U.S. didn't win yesterday or didn't get a point. And you also have to look at who should be the leader of the team, which is Jurgen Klinsmann, and he's got to instill this mentality, which is frankly better than it was yesterday. So I'm not sure if that's really the reason that the U.S. lost yesterday.
Seth, away from the hexagonal round of qualification for the World Cup, but you wrote an article recently for Goal.com as well regarding ESPN's new deal to broadcast Mexico's home matches through World Cup 2014. What does this have an impact for in terms of what it means for TV audiences? Because we saw recently that a number of very strong TV audiences in the U.S. for Mexican games and stronger than a lot of the U.S. national teams' games.
Yeah, you know, I think that ESPN really took a look at the demographics in our country, and they saw this as a huge opportunity, not just to reach Hispanic Americans, but to reach English-speaking Hispanic Americans. You know, in the article, I said that there are, based on a U.S. Census study in 2007, there's 34.5 million people 5 years and older in the U.S. that spoke Spanish as their primary language. But of that group, more than 24 million said that they spoke English very well or well, based on a self-assessment question. And I think that over time, as you've seen more and more people from Mexico come to the U.S., this number of them that actually speak English has really increased. I mean, you have people that have moved from Mexico and lived here for decades, and now they're fluent in English, and then they have children, and their children have actually been born here and might be more comfortable in English and Spanish. And I think it's a big opportunity. And I can tell you that, you know, on Goal.com, our Mexican national team coverage in English does very well. So it's definitely a segment of the population that hadn't been catered to before with all the Mexico broadcasts in Spanish. And so, you know, with ESPN picking up these rights, I think that they should expect some good numbers, and we'll have to see from last night, the Jamaica game. But, you know, they noticed that there was an opportunity in the market, and they're trying to take advantage of it.
Seth, does the continuing growth of Latin Americans in the U.S., do you see that as a way of football embedding itself more in American culture as well? Obviously, we've seen viewing figures rise and rise. Do you think that a lot of that is down to the influx of Mexican and Hispanic people in the U.S.?
Well, yeah, you know, it's definitely part of it. You can see that, you know, it's not only, you know, the Latinos. There's plenty of Americans who have become more and more soccer fans, and there's plenty of immigrants from other countries who've sort of made up this soccer watching nation, and you can see that the numbers have been very good for Champions League games, for the European Championships this summer. You know, more and more over time, we've become more of a soccer loving nation, and it's not a surprise when you see these deals that more and more soccer is going to be on television and be a part of the national sports consciousness. And like I said, this is going to be a good deal for ESPN. And I think for soccer fans in general, just having more soccer on TV, I mean, even if you're a U.S. fan and you're a little frustrated with days like yesterday where the U.S. game is on beIN Sport and not a lot of people get that channel, and then at night the Mexico game is on ESPN and you can watch that pretty much across the country in almost every home with cable, I think it's overall a good thing. It's good to have more soccer on television, and you just have to tell yourself that, you know, ESPN isn't taking away from their U.S. coverage. They're just adding more coverage with the Mexico national team.
And it's not so bad as well for your day job, Seth, is it? The increase in football in the U.S., that's for sure. Seth, it's been a pleasure to chat with you today, mate. And thanks for picking your spirits up enough to join us and talk about what happened last night, mate. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Take care, man. Seth Vatelny there of Goal.com joining us here on World Football Daily to talk about what happened in Honduras last night for the US men's national team. You can follow Seth on Twitter at svertgoal.com. svertgoal.com, all one word, all lowercase on Twitter. Absolute legendary chap, Seth Vatelny of Goal.com, joining us and giving us his side of the story of what happened for the US last night. Apparently, you know, they should have brought in Bocanegra. You know, hindsight 2020 vision is a wonderful thing, and that they weren't, though, really missing that leader. That's not the way I saw it. We'll find out what Raf thought of it when we come back here on World Football Daily.